All right. Well, joining us in the studio now is Wayne Potratz, and he's here because he is he's a sculptor, and he's a part of Crossing Borders, and he's going to be down at Last Chance Gallery with Tom Christensen. So welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you.
Thanks for
to be here.
Yeah, thanks for stopping in. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself. I see that you are retired from the University of Minnesota as an art educator, but you were there for some 45 years?
Yeah, I just retired in July.
Just this past July?
Yeah. It was a lifetime sentence. Almost no possibility of parole, but I finally got out. I've taught there for 45 years. I've been teaching for almost 50 years, teaching art, and taught in high school for a while in community college, and then started at the university in 1969.
And so what types of things were you teaching in your classes?
I was a member of the faculty in the Department of Art, and I taught sculpture and seminars and graduate students, but mainly I taught metal casting of sculpture, which is my main research interest and my expertise.
Excellent. And so we're going to talk, and that's what you're going to be doing a little bit up here at Last Chance Studio.
Well, the exhibition is cast metal sculpture, my portion of it, and along with my friend Tom Christensen, who was a student in the 80s at the University of Minnesota, and we've been friends ever since.
Right. You know, so I was checking out your website and looking at the two things on the homepage are water and fire, and you mentioned solo canoeing, and then when you pulled in here, I think I saw a canoe on top of your car.
Yeah, there's a little 13-foot cedar stripper up there. It's the old man canoe, which weighs about 35, so I'm hoping to be able to continue to do that for quite a few years. So.
And you talk about traveling solo, you know, on the water, and I think you mentioned on here just taking with what you need and surviving and kind of paring it down. So are you doing longer trips on the water, or are you day trips, or do you in the boundary waters, or tell us a little about
I'll be going in, and I was in about a week or so ago up on SAG, but I was with a friend, and I'll be going in solo sometime soon for a little trip. I like to do at least three trips a year, spring. I used to out trout fishing, and then summer with a group of guys we've been going with, and then I like to do a little solo trip in the fall.
And do you find that affects your art in some ways?
Yeah, like most of a lot of my themes right now have been about the wilderness and solo canoeing and fishing. And I think, you know, fishing is a little bit like making art. You kind of throw your lure in a unknown place and you hope to catch a big one. And it's a little bit like making sculpture.
Interesting. And then the other thing on your homepage is fire. And I mean, obviously, you've been working with fire your whole career.
Yeah, I'm a metal caster, and fire is your friend. It's your ally in melting metal, and it's a transformative art. You change material into a liquid form, and you pour it in a very elegant hole that you've made out of various kinds of refractory materials, and then that liquid transforms into a solid object when it cools, and that's the sculpture, that's the art.
And you had mentioned that teaching for 45 years down at the U, and of course Tom Christensen was one of your students, and you must have taught hundreds and hundreds of students that are all over the country.
They're all over the country, and some of them out of country, and then I've had lots of international fellows that have come to work with me, India, France, the former Yugoslavia, Spain, Turkey, places like that.
A couple of things I noticed that I hadn't heard before, but Tatara?
Yes.
Which?
The Tatara is a Japanese word for a process that makes steel directly from iron ore.
And is that something you do, or?
That is something that I've been practicing, for about 12 years. I've studied in Japan a lot, and it's something that I've been to Japan three times to study, and then I've been doing them at the university since about 1990.
And the other thing I noticed on your website was Wootz Steel, Wootz.
Yeah, Wootz is originally Wootz was developed in India. It's a crucible method of making steel, And when you build it to Tara and you smelt the iron down into a bloom, there's always lots of little bits of iron as well as a kind of a bigger mass of steel. So I take these little bits and put them in a crucible and pack the rest of the crucible with charcoal, put a refractory top on it, put it in a furnace and heat it up. And then the iron all coalesces into a kind of a little button, or they used to call them Wootz cakes. They look kind of look like a round cake. And those, in ancient times, those were traded from India all the way into Damascus. And when that steel was hammered out, it had a particular pattern, which then became called Damascus steel. And now Damascus steel really refers to any kind of pattern welded patterned steel. Mm-hmm. So that's a derivation of that word, but it indicates the great trading in ancient times of materials for artists and for craftsmen.
And so you mentioned you're retiring. Are you retired?
Yeah, I retired from teaching, yeah, but not from making art.
Not from making art. So they say, what are you doing now? And of course, this is one thing you're doing.
I'm showing my work, yeah. I'm actually in a show right now in San Antonio and also in Laramie. So I'm continuing to be active. And I just returned from a conference in Latvia. It was held in middle of June.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your time here, though, at Last Chance Studio and Gallery with Tom Christensen. What you're going to be there?
Or? Yeah, it's open from 10 in the morning until 6 p.m. from now until Sunday, the 5th of October. Yep. That's correct, 5th of October. And there are two exhibitions in the studio, my work and Tom's work. And then, of course, Tom has a small gallery that has a number of artists' works within it. And we're there to kind of talk to people. And we both have laptops with photos and videos and mm-hmm. stuff like that to help for people to see something about the process and the materials that we deal with, and a little bit about maybe the content of our imagery.
Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful. And so you'll be here all 2 weeks then?
I will be.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And is this your, have you visited Crossing Borders before?
Well, I've been up for Crossing Borders. I have not been a featured, or a guest artist on Crossing Borders before.
Right. And so how do you think, you know, when you were teaching, did that impact or change your work, actually what you were doing in the, you know, as your own work as well? Make you try different things or?
Well, you know, I thought of the classroom as a kind of a old-fashioned workshop. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, there's an experienced person that practices, and then there are some slightly less experienced people who are like teaching assistants or graduate students who are more advanced, and then there are people who have not very much experience, and they come in, and we all make our work together. The thing about metal casting, I think, that's very interesting is that it's very difficult to do it by yourself. You have to collaborate. It's heavy, it's hot. It takes, especially iron, it takes a lot of people to melt and pour iron. So it was a kind of a collaborative effort. And the thing about it is that students got to see me work directly in the studio. That's where I built my molds and mm-hmm. cast my work and did my work. And so they were privy to the successes, the failures, the mistakes, the bad work, the good work, which is a very real kind of experience. So that really, I think, helped. It helped me because I was, I was committed to practicing and showing my practice to students. And since I was also there working, there was an opportunity for students to come in, other than class time, to kind of see what was going on, ask questions. I was there a lot because it was also my studio in a way.
Right. So, and as you went over those 45 years, were you the only one doing sculpture, or were there other?
No, we had right now we have three faculty members in sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have four. Of course, I've retired,
right.
So now there are three. We're hoping to hire another full time. We have a number of adjunct people who also come in and teach for us various things, beginning sculpture and metal smithing. And there has been a person who's been hired as a term position for a couple of years to teach my metal casting courses. They're her metal casting courses mm-hmm. now. Her name is Tamsi Ringler. She's a very nice sculptor from St. Paul.
And now that you're retired and you don't have your sculpture studio anymore, do you have
Well, I have a studio. Yeah, I have a. I still have retained my university research space for one more year, and then I'll have to find another place mm-hmm. in which to work. So that'll be an interesting experience. It's always nice moving a lot of heavy sculpture around and
right, yeah.
scads of tools and, you know, artist disease collection stuff yes. that we collect. So.
And you had mentioned earlier to Randy and I here that you had sculpted a canoe.
A couple of canoes. I have a 13-foot cast iron canoe up at Franconia Sculpture Park. And then this early winter of 2013, I cast a 7-foot smaller canoe. And that was part of my retrospective exhibition, which was at the Nash Gallery at the university campus last September and October of 2013.
Yeah, and the weight of that canoe is?
Well, it's 285 pounds. It's 7 feet long, but it displaces 500 pounds of water, so theoretically it would float in water. So I haven't tried it, but maybe I should give it a try, huh? That's see what happens. It probably wouldn't float with very much freeboard, but it would be interesting to try.
I just wouldn't want a portage yet.
No portaging. I'm into very lightweight canoes at my age.
Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Wayne Potratz, who is going to be down at Last Chance Studio and Gallery, part of Crossing Borders, and he's going to be there through Sunday, October 5th. And I believe it is open 10 to 6?
10 to 6.
Is what you said.
Every day.
So you can stop in there and check out the stuff. And anything else you want to share with the folks?
No, just happy to be back in Grand Marais, one of my favorite places. I love the Boundary Waters, and I love the North Shore, and... And come see us at Last Chance.
Yeah, and were you going to get out canoeing the next
I'm
going
to try to get up, do a little canoeing. Yeah, I mean, it'll probably a little fishing. So
yeah, I think tomorrow you should go if you can work it into your schedule.
Yeah. It'd be a beautiful day.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Coming in tonight.